Podcasting 2.0 for November 19th, 2021, episode 63. We're hovering at 500 feet, that is. Hello, everybody. Time once again for the board meeting where all the directors join hands every single Friday and discuss everything happening in Podcasting 2.0 at podcastindex.org, the podcast namespace, and, of course, all the genius ideas that are being developed now at Podcast Index Social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who creates all directories as root, my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
No, you're trying to get me. I'm trying to get me angry before the show starts.
This is like, how can I mess with Dave? I know.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. It's a little bit of a different schedule for us. We usually record at noon, and this is 2:30.
2:30. Now, so, did we alert everybody else? Because I think people arrange their Fridays around the show sometimes. Because after all, you know, it is a weekly board meeting. Everyone, it is mandatory attendance, obviously.
Oh, yeah, clearly. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think we told everybody, though, so everybody's just going to be standing out in the lobby, like, just like, what the heck? Why is the door locked?
Let me in.
Yeah. I mean, there's no coffee. What's going on here?
So we were.
I started to leave the office to come out. I do the show on my lunch break. And so I was leaving a little bit late. And then on my way out, I'm like, oh, I need to go do a couple things in the server room real quick. Walk in there and notice that there was a battery, UPS. We got a rack of UPSs. I mean, we don't have tons of on-premise equipment, but we do have some. Mm-hmm. And so we have a rack of UPSs, and I noticed there's a light on one of them, and I had not gotten an alert about it.
Oh.
And so it must have just happened, like literally, you know.
Well, of course, the minute you're ready to walk out the door is when the lights go winky-blinky. Of course, that's the dude named Ben Law. We all know it.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I'm good. I'll go ahead and I'll just pop this battery pack out, and then I'll go get the battery pack rebuilt after my lunch break on the way back to the office.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to pull it out, and it gets about halfway out, and it just will not come out. I mean, I spent
this is some 10 sexy minutes. Some sexy battery talk you're doing here, Dave. So, anyway, let me just get this straight. So you pulled it halfway out, and you couldn't get it out. Oh my gosh!
The rest of it would not come out. It was just, and so the batteries in it's a four battery pack, and so the batteries in the front were fine. One of the batteries in the back were swollen.
Uh-oh.
So big that it would not come out.
Oh, you got to be careful of that. I'm just saying.
Antibiotics.
Can you turn your mic down just a little bit? You're splattering on me today.
Am I super hot?
Okay. Yeah, Dave, you're always hot.
Okay, how about
that? That's great. Thank you. That's
okay,
great.
Perfect.
Yeah. So you got to be careful of those. Especially if it's swollen.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look for the UPS.
No, I don't trust those at all.
Well, I ended up having to get... So I'm now,
are those lead acid batteries or are they lithium ion?
Yeah. Okay. No, they're lead acid. So I was trying everything I could.
D cells, a bunch of D cells in series.
Yeah, they're like these. There's a 12 volt, not 12 volt. What other? They look like those alarm system batteries that the small boxes turned on their side. I think they're 12 volt units.
Yeah, you slide them in. I have them on the doors, I think.
Yeah, and so there's like four of them, in series.
Yeah,
and I get the screwdriver, can't get it out. Bigger screwdriver won't come out.
No, just drill into it, man. Just drill into it.
Yeah. Acid spew all over my face. You know, like it's like I'm from a former Soviet.
This is the stuff that people in the office don't realize: the harrowing situations, the time, the interruption of life that sys admins go through.
Well, I almost died. Almost easily.
I mean, if it wasn't the Rona, then the lead acid battery will get you. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And all that, they think they can fix you with a pizza. I mean, it's just crazy.
That's crazy. Pizza and beer.
It's crazy.
Pizza and beer. I finally jammed this wire cutter, side cutters in there, and just gave it the old heave ho, and it's just like, bam, it just popped out.
Oh, so, thank goodness. So you still got to go back and fix that situation then later after the show?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, thank you. See, just before we started, Dave's like, I'm not going to tell you this. I'll tell it on the show. And it's good to know, because this is a rule for all podcasters. And sometimes we do have assessors here who look in the board meeting.
And
that's not assessor. What do you call it? That's the European name. What do you call it? When you monitor a college class, you're a
auditor.
Auditor. There you go.
Yeah.
Auditor. Yeah. Even better. Never talk about stuff beforehand. It sucks. It will ruin it. And message to Kyron, because he's going to have me on Mere Mortals. I'm excited about that, because he said, I want to do something different than all the questions everybody asks you. I'm like, oh, man, I don't think anyone has not asked me something. That
good luck.
Yeah,
good luck.
But that's okay, because, you know, it depends. You know, if you get me started, we both might be surprised. But he's like, yeah, and I'll call you and we'll run through what we're going to talk about. No.
Yeah, that's when I was on Survival Podcast a few months ago. Jack Spirko had me fill out like this form, like, what do you want to talk about here? You know, hit some questions. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, this is
no,
it's not. Yeah. You don't want to ask the pre-interview. You don't want to have the pre-interview.
Exactly. You know, Dave Jones, you are a real podcaster, man. You're a real one. You were born for this. Did you not realize how born you were for this?
I never realized it.
Did you ever do any college radio? No.
I never realized it until I tried to get the battery pack out of the UPS unit and realized I'm not made for sysadmin work.
Oh, my goodness. It's a learning day today, isn't it? This is fabulous.
It is.
So the most exciting thing for me this week was Helipad, which you gave me a sneak preview of. And I know you're frustrated by it, particularly because you go on a vacation for a week.
Yeah, I'll be gone next week. Yep.
Yeah. So when do you leave? Monday?
No, we leave tomorrow.
Oh, good. Morning. So we won't have a show next, or we won't have just no board meeting for next week. That's going to be tough. I don't know what we're all doing. Maybe I'll just release an hour and a half of me playing Bucks Fizz and ABBA. And since we have such a playlist now, thanks to
Theremin. Bucks Fizz on the Theremin.
Oh, my goodness. I can hook it up. Yeah. All right.
Bucks Fizz covers on the Theremin.
My Friday just opened up. Okay. Nice. Bucks Fizz on the Theremin. So I know you wanted to get this all working and all perfect. And initially when you gave me the first code, it's like, okay, it started to work pretty well.
For 30 seconds.
Yeah. For a little bit there. And then you had the new code, and this was fun because I installed the new code, which took me a little bit because, of course, operator error, forgot to use sudo, all this stuff. And then I said, I said, Dave, I'll just reboot it. You say, yeah, but don't you have that? Too late. I already rebooted it. Comes back up. Nothing's working. I now have three external drive images. All right. And Alex Gates very kindly had sent me a link about, oh, this is how you do the logical drive and map it that way. And I looked at it and went,
Did you do it?
No.
Of course not.
No, because I figured I just want the node. If I got the node back up and running, which means I had to start. Because, you know, what happens is, it's actually the external drive is UMIE. I can't remember why I named it that. So then I got a UMIE2 and a 1, and then I got UMIE2. And each time that happens, you have to go into the new directory. It would be /media/Adam, I think, /UMIE3, a 2 in this case. And then you have to start the script, but then it'll say, oh, I can't do it because this Docker's already running. And you got to delete all these containers. And then you delete the containers, and you keep starting it up each time, and they'll say, and you can see all the ones that are being recreated, and it works, and then it stops. You got to delete that. It's a crazy process, but I figured that out, and I have it running, and I am receiving some boostograms some of the time, but it's kind of sporadic, and I think that, well, you can explain it better than I can. I got it to work because you said the database is written as root and not writable, so nothing can really happen. And so I changed the owner, changed the permissions, and stuff started to work right away, but it's kind of sketch. So I guess it's not quite where it has to be. What happened?
So what you just said, that it's all boils down to a database issue. There were a couple of bugs that they were easy to fix. I mean, they weren't showstoppers by any means, but so the way this works is you take your binary or your script or whatever this app is going to be. Essentially, the app is just your software in whatever form it takes, packaged as a Docker image.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give Umbral a Docker compose file.
Yeah, the compose.yml.
Yes, the Docker dash compose.
Exciting, yeah. Exciting. Yes, I got to edit that myself.
That's terrifying. But you give it the Docker compose file, and you put it in a certain directory. So you put it in apps/. This is all within the Umbral file system. You put it in apps/podcasting 2.0-boosts, and so that's the name of this the underlying name of this app. So then you put this Docker compose file in there. The Docker compose has some configuration parameters in it, and one of them is the Docker image that it's going to
pull in
to install. Mm-hmm. Yes, so you give it that Docker compose file, and then you run a script called app. And you do app space install space podcasting 20-boosts. And so then it looks and finds the Docker compose file, pulls the Docker image from Docker Hub, and runs it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, gives it the appropriate environment variables and runtime parameters that it needs that you specified in Docker compose. So that's all great. One of the parameters in there is to mount a volume on the host.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you imagine, okay, there's this file system here within the Umbral directory system. One of the folders is called app-data. Inside the app-data folder is a subfolder for each installed app. So that means podcasting 20-boost gets a subfolder by default in there. It just gets auto-created. All good. Still all fine. It gets created with the appropriate ownership and permissions. When the Docker image runs for the podcasting 20-boost app, it automatically mounts a volume on the host. So what you end up with is this app-data/podcasting20-boost/data folder.
/SQLite/.
Yeah, that all's kind of irrelevant because mm-hmm. it's just subfolders of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so what this is doing is it's taking a folder on the host system, which in this case is the Umbral,
mm-hmm.
and presenting that folder to the app as if it's the app's folder.
Okay.
That it can use.
Mm.
And it's essentially a shared folder between the Docker image and the host. If you didn't have that, because the way Docker image works is the way Docker works is every time you restart an image, it's like you built a whole brand new computer all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So everything gets wiped back to factory defaults every time you boot the image up. So what would happen is if you didn't have a shared folder, you would wipe your database every single time you restarted the image.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. So what's happening is for some reason, the Docker, when the Docker image is going to create this file inside its shared folder, it writes that file as root.
That's what I thought was happening initially.
Oh, we have an update. New shit has come to light.
Well, when you first installed the app, what was happening is it was not writing, I had a path problem. And so it was not even writing the database. So your database was getting built inside the image by accident.
Ooh, okay.
That was fixed in pretty quick. Then what happened was it was writing the database file out to the shared data folder, but it was writing it. But when the shared data folder gets created, the owner is root. And so nobody else has rights to write to it. What I don't understand, I still don't understand this, is that it must be something with the permissions. Maybe the execute bit is set, but not the write bit or something like that. I'm not real sure. But what's happening is it allows the database to be created, but it can't be written to.
Hmm. Are you sure? Because I could have sworn that that the shared folder was written as Adam, but that the everything inside it was written as root.
On mine, that might be the case on yours. On mine, what it does is even the data folder itself is ownership by root, and everything by default inherits that below it. And the same thing is happening on Brian of London. His Umbral is doing the same thing.
Hmm.
And so I thought, I thought it was my issue inside with building the image and everything. And I've just beat my head against the wall, trying all these different techniques to get this ownership to be different. And I mean, it's been a total fail at this point. I cannot get the data folder to be created as the appropriate, as the Umbral user and not as root.
Hmm.
Here's what I think is happening at this point. I think that if this was being done through the App Store, properly through Umbral, I think the ownership would be correct. I think what's happening is it's doing this as root because we're doing it. We're running it as sudo.
Right.
And on our Umbrals, the Docker daemon is running as root. And so I think I think it's just an artifact of installing this thing sort of side loading and not going through the official Umbral App Store deployment process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to confirm that with the Umbral guys, but I can't get anybody to respond to me in their support channels. So okay. I don't know. That's just a total guess at this point. But that's a long, boring story just to say that it's like 99% of the way there, and I can't get that last freaking 1% done.
Right. It's interesting because I was just looking at my folder structure, and the data folder, I thought I had changed it. It may not make any difference. If I change the permissions and the ownership of the database itself, does it matter if that's in a folder that is owned by root?
It could, depending on the way the folder permissions are set.
All right. Well, I just changed it. I saw that it was root. It was group root.
Okay. So you were in your Umbral folder in the app.
I was actually in there. I didn't get stuck. I was able to pull out.
Oh, your batteries weren't swollen.
No. Yeah.
Okay. So if you get, so you were in there in the subfolder for Podcasting 20 Boosts, and, yep, and you said your data folder was root.
Actually, the SQLite folder. And I thought I had changed it. So the data folder I changed to Adam with full permissions. And now the database itself was Adam, full permissions. But the SQLite folder that the database file is in was not. That was root. So I just changed that. Could somebody please boost me?
do it now.
Yeah.
You must be running an older image or something, because I'm not even creating that SQLite folder anymore.
Oh, really?
Your database should be living directly in the data folder.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's surprising that you even have a SQLite folder. We've just lost half the listeners because it's so boring.
I don't know if it's boring. I think it's kind of fun. Can I just move that database? No. So I just restart the image then, and then it would all work magically, just right?
Reboot the Surface Pro. And we'll wait on the show while you fix your IME, MEI or whatever.
Well, what I will say, and Tina had a front row seat. She said, wow. Because I said, she said, what are you doing? You know, when I'm typing away ferociously and I'm not listening to anything, I've been sucked into the screen. So what are you doing?
I was literally giving you commands to run through Signal.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm like, oh no, Dave and I are working on helipad. She knows what that is. She says, oh, okay. What's going on? I said, well, it broke. She says, oh no. And she's like, oh my God. I said, no, this is what we do. This is the fun part. They said, you know, Dave's trying to command me like I'm the stewardess flying the 747, giving me commands. All right, flaps one. Okay, pull
airplane
back
from airplane.
Yes, you see that big red knob? Pull that one back. I enjoy that part of the process immensely. As you know, I was in bed SSHing in from my phone.
You were, which was super weird. Because then I don't know. I'm like, oh, wait, crap. You're doing this from a phone? Oh, my God. You're blowing my brains out.
Terminus, man. Terminus works perfectly. Oh, I'm proficient with it. I'm proficient. Well, good. So after the show, I'll definitely try the it's working. I've seen it work. I see boost coming. I can send something, but it's completely wonky. So yeah.
I think it's every time the image restarts, everything just goes, it just goes haywire again. Even if you set the permissions and all that stuff, it's not stable. It's just completely unstable.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll just have to wait a week then. Hope you enjoy your vacation, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to be. I hate stuff like this for my own mental health because I know that this is going to be like eating away at me the entire time I'm gone. I'm just going to be like,
Oh, I had to talk when we first launched it. I think that was a Wednesday, week ago. And, you know, it wasn't working. It was complicated, whatever it was. And then the next morning, it was working. Then it wasn't working. I don't know exactly what it was, but I remember having to, cause it was show day Thursday morning. Like I can't do this now. If I try and reinstall or whatever it is I wanted to do at the time, I will screw up the No Agenda show. I had to go outside and walk around to calm myself down and get over it.
When you were asking me about that on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, I was like, no, don't, you need to walk away.
Yeah. It was really hard. I had to really push my, and I, you know, because I know that it was probably my whole node at that point. It's like, I know, oh, but sats are coming and I'm missing the sats and people get error messages. I had to talk myself off a big ledge there. Big ledge.
Yeah. No, I know that feeling.
So to switch gears.
Yeah, go ahead.
It feels like podcasting 2.0 features are popping up everywhere in the commercial landscape, only they're not podcasting 2.0 features. So, I think that people are seeing all of the adoption of, there's commercial versions of chapters, there's commercial versions of comments. I saw Darren O'Neill forwarded me an email from Good Pods. Good Pods, I've got something fantastic now in the Good Pods app. You can configure a payment method, and then users using the app can just click on it, whether it's Patreon or PayPal or whatever it is. I'm like, yeah, that's called the funding tag in podcasting 2.0. It's like, we've had that for a while. So all these things start popping up and they're all in their own little silos. And I just want to make a big call out to everybody and say, your strategy is flawed. There's enough historical evidence that your strategy is flawed and you can get the same, you get the same benefit from using the namespace features, and it can still be your own shit. You know, it's still all in your app. You still compete with whatever you've got, but you're silly. You're silly if you do it that way.
Let me make you feel better, because I had three good conversations this past week. One with Mike over at Red Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Really good guy. Fun conversation.
Where are they located?
Mike is in Cincinnati, I think. I don't know.
Is he living on the air in Cincinnati? Cincinnati, yeah, WKRP?
And let's see. I'm not sure where they're sort of headquartered at, or if they even have one, but he's in Cincinnati. I talked with the guys from clever.fm.
Yes, I heard a very good interview that James Cridlin did on Podland, and Cridlin was all over the pushing the podcasting 2.0. Which I heard a lot of. Yes, of course we're going to do that.
Yeah, I had great talk with them.
Tell me,
they're good guys. They're gonna be doing stuff. I don't want to be too specific about any of this stuff because I don't want to
cats out of bags. But they already use the index for. They already use the index, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they use the API. Yeah,
cool.
And so then they're going to be using some podcasting 2.0 features to bring it, you know, for their service and everything. And then
what do they want from you?
It was Sean and Servi over there. They're just wanting to know. They want to ask me some questions about just different things. Just make sure that they had their understanding right about how stuff worked and everything. And then they're also telling me about a couple of weird issues they found with the API that they're actually really good. I'll talk about one of them real quick. So the way the API work, the way the podcast index API works with prior, it tries to figure out how fast to poll feeds using just a very simple algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
And so the algorithm is something like this. If you, it's the more episodes you see in the feed crammed into a shorter amount of time, up the priority flag mm-hmm. on that feed to pull it quicker.
That makes sense. Mean time between episodes.
That's okay. I got to write that down.
Hey, that's why there's two of us.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a pen, but I want that. Okay,
I'll write it down. Meantime between episodes, yes.
MTBE.
That's a aviation term. Meantime before overhaul.
Okay, it's also a hard drive term. Meantime between failure. MTBF is the common way to rank hard drive durability.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, I like this. So you. It essentially takes the MTBE, turns that into a number, into an integer. And the higher the number, the faster it pulls.
Right.
There's certain feeds in the index that publish a new item like once an hour.
Huh.
So they're publishing very quickly.
So they get updated a lot.
But they don't get updated a lot because they replace, there only is ever one episode in the feed. They just replace that one episode every hour.
Yeah.
And so
it's a use case. I can see it. I can see many use cases for that. Sure.
Sure. It's like an hourly news show or something like that. From NPR is the one that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I subscribe to that feed.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But I get it on the Freedom Controller. So I see it in my river of news and not in the podcast app.
Okay. So that thing is not updating properly because the algorithm fails on it. It doesn't know what to do. It's all over the map.
Understood.
So I've got to go in there and put in an exception for that use case. But anyway, so they were telling me about that and some other stuff. Good, talking with them. And, I talked to another host, as well. And I can't, it's escaping me. I'll remember in a second, but I remember it's Acast. I talked to Stacy over at Acast. She was asking about some stuff.
How's she doing? Is she digging it over there?
Yeah. I want to get Stacy and the Acast folks on the show, but they're not really doing any podcasting 2.0 stuff. I'm like,
what's wrong with you? What's wrong with them? Are they just doing drugs all day? Like, what? Come on, get on the stick, people.
There's nothing but a bunch of druggies over there. Yeah. But, So they're asking some stuff about integration with some podcast index stuff. So cool. There's a lot of proprietary stuff,
but also
going
positive
on,
energy.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of people are figuring things out, you know, sort of just not in a public way. And I think we're going to see more. I think we're just going to see, just this continued snowballing of people, doing, I think people see good ideas and they recognize them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I was so delighted to hear the interview. Who was it on from Clever FM? Remember who that was?
Oh, it's Sean and Servi.
Must have been Sean. Okay. I was just delighted to hear, you know, some knowledgeable 2.0 talk. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, holy crap. Finally.
Yeah, those guys know what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mike over at Red Circle, sharp dude too. They're doing cool stuff there as well. I'm just going to keep it on the down low. I don't want to blow his thunder. But
well, since we've been talking about features, maybe time to bring in our guest into the boardroom.
I've got some stuff to talk to him about.
That sounds threatening.
No, in a good way. I love this guy.
All right, we adjusted our time just for him to make sure it all worked with our intergalactic communication. He's the developer of the Castomatic podcast player. I actually dug out my iPhone 6, and the App Store said I could load it, but it didn't. So that's because I had probably him on iOS 8 or some shit like that. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to rely on Dave, but it's in the App Store. It's a real podcasting 2.0 app. He's also a sailor and a doctor, I don't know what his spare time is spent on, which one of the three. Please welcome to the boardroom, Franco Solerio.
Hey there. Thank you. Hey, hey.
It's great to have you, Franco.
Hey. Now, Franco, I have to tell you right off the bat, my brother-in-law is Italian, and
yeah, I know,
and he sounds just like you. He sounds just. I mean, and it's tripping me out.
We're all the same.
Yeah, I'm like, are you sure you're not Alessandro? Because you're sound. Is this a gag? The gag you're playing on me. Anyway, man, congratulations on Castomatic, because I hear so many good things about it.
Thank you. I'm very, really proud of it. And it's my main job right now, because yes, as you said, I'm also a podcaster, a sailor, and the doctor in the spare time.
So the doctor is the spare time?
Yes, of course. Right, it should not be, but it is. No, it's not. But I work as a, I have my own practice, private practice, so I can manage my time as I want. So I do medical practice three, four days a week, and the other days are free for me to study.
Oh, wow. And you're a GP?
Yes, something like that. A GP is a general practitioner.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of.
I know. You're the kind of doctor that's in the weed store and you give people the prescription. Is that what you do?
No, actually, I'm a doctor that does what the other doctors don't. I try to improve chronic disease by giving the less amount of drugs possible, and just changing diet and changing lifestyle. And
you're functional medicine.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's beautiful. I've been doing applied kinesia for 11 years. I don't go to a regular doctor anymore. Love it. Oh okay. Yeah, no, I'm all in on that. I'm all in.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. So. So much for the weed prescription, but it's nice that you do that anyway.
Well, we can arrange something.
There it is. So if you don't mind, just how did you get into developing, and how did you ultimately decide to create Castomatic?
Developing has been my hobby since I was 12 years old. In summertime, I was bored. I was going sailing, training in the afternoons. The morning, I didn't know what to do. My mother took me to a private school where they teach the basic on the Commodore 64.
Yay! All right. Yes. Wait a minute. Yes. So here's a guy who lives in Sanremo, beautiful. There's beautiful people walking around in Sanremo. It's beautiful weather. You're a sailor. But yet, Mom, I'm bored.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. Classic programmer.
Yeah. It's in your blood, man. It's in your blood.
I'm a little atypical for a doctor, for a sailor, for everything. But I like to do many different things. And I'm a podcaster too. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to the Delta Sierra Charlie almost since the beginning.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
All right. Daily Source Code shout out. Nice. Thank you.
We met once in London. It was, maybe 2006. It was PodcastCon UK. It was the first European conference.
When I was living there, probably.
I think so. There was this conference by these guys. They invited me and they came to London because I was one of the first Italian podcasters.
Oh, wait. Is that
Rockcast Italia.
Yes. Wait. Did I have my pink sweater on?
Yeah.
See, I remember it.
Yeah. I got some photos too. Yeah.
with my pink glasses. This was my pink phase. I had a pink phase.
It's like Van Gogh's blue face.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Picasso, whoever that was.
Equally famous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I remember. Yeah, okay. Rock Italia, what was it called?
Rockcast Italia.
It's coming back to me slowly.
Yeah, it was all about podcast music, Podsafe music.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was strange because you asked me, what can pod show, you were working in pod show at the time, what can pod show do for Italian podcasting? And I was scratching my head, and you were all in on promoting podcasting and finding advertisers, but with the numbers we had in Italy, it was almost impossible to today we have a gazillion of podcasts in Italy, mm-hmm. but almost mm-hmm. nobody lives on it. Nobody is making a living. If you look at Wikipedia, you have 1.5 billion persons in the world speaking English. You have 85 million speaking Italian. Right. So the numbers don't, you can't make a living with advertising and podcasting in Italy. You really can't.
It's just not big enough. No. Well, not
and
with
that's
ad,
good
not,
for podcasting 2.0. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Advertising may not yeah. work, but yeah. And that's a good point, man. That's a really good point, because when you get these, the non-English markets, and I'm going to have to leave Spanish out of it, because, you know, that, and maybe yeah, even, course. To be honest, maybe, I think Farsi is probably bigger than we realize too. Then there's just no advertising. It's just not big enough for the for the amount of people. And speaking of such, I just want to ask you a question. I keep hearing, and maybe you can help me, because I have a theory about this. I keep hearing surprise from industry pundits. You know, I'm not someone who likes ratings or reviews or charts. And everyone's all flustered. Like, why is it that The Daily, which is an American daily news podcast, very famous, why is it that The Daily is number one in all these countries in Europe, including the United Kingdom, which really upsets the Brits because they can't imagine anything would be more popular than the BBC? Do you know anything about this show? Have you ever heard of it?
No, I know it. I know the title. I never heard about it. I never listened to it. I really don't know.
I'm gonna hand out my theory right here. This is click fraud. Yeah. This is click fraud.
Ooh.
This is fraud. They, because you know, you can get you can buy people who have 100 phones on their wall hanging there, just listening to podcasts nonstop. Spotify lost hundreds of millions of dollars was paid out to people who had some crap, you know, piece of shit they put up on Spotify and just hired people with hundreds of phones to play it all day long, and they got the revenue from it.
I've seen that video, yeah.
I'm telling I think this is click fraud.
You probably might do it with Amazon Mechanical Turk.
Exactly.
You pay a service with people to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just surprised that no one is... thought that might be a possibility. Anyway, okay, so you confirm you have no idea about it. That's good.
No yeah. idea. No.
All right.
I mean, on a similar note, though, I want to talk to you about this, because I just was sent that Alex sent me this yesterday. I think this is good. So going back for a second, Marco from Overcast was talking earlier this week about ratings and how people, have downranked him for, you know, stupid stuff all the time. And do you see, I've got this article I want to talk about, but before that, do you fight that battle, Franco, of having people downvoting, Castomatic for just silly reasons and then have to figure out how to make them happy? And
a little, but, okay. Not so much, because we have very different audiences. He has an enormous audience. Castomatic is very little. I'm very bad at marketing. So
you fit in with us just fine. Then.
Yeah, you're talking to the marketing department here, which has done zero marketing. So
okay. But I think that if things are good enough, they get to the surface even without too much marketing. And so right now, most of my users are Italian, mm-hmm. are people mm-hmm. that know me on my podcast or on other Italian podcast, and they suggest to use Castomatic. And so the users of Castomatic are very are somewhat fidelized. I don't know the term. Are really really. It's not a general user who doesn't know anything about me, about the history behind Castomatic, behind the fact that it's a one-man band, and so.
Well, they're part of your part of your community. If they're listening to the podcast, then they're
mostly, mm-hmm. mostly.
So, but are you doing value for value on your own podcast?
Yeah. So I've been doing it. Yes,
is it working? Are people boosting and sending you sats?
Yes, they are beginning to do it. They are used to contribute to the show.
Mm-hmm.
We've been using Now we have a podcast. The name is Digitalia. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it since 2009. And since the beginning, it was 90% based on the user contribution, PayPal, Bitcoin, yep. Everything. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and now the most geeky ones are transitioning to are moving to value for value.
Right,
mostly with customers.
Right, but you have to keep telling them, Fanculo.
Yeah, of course.
There you go. So I had to slip it in. I had to slip it in. It's the only swear word I know in Italian. Yeah, it's like, okay. Come on, people, use my Castomatic app. Send me some sats. Sometimes if you just yell at them, it works. It's really interesting.
You if you don't, they don't.
Exactly.
You have to tell them.
And you have to be strict. And you have to threaten them, like, well, this show will just end. If there's no money, it's just going to end. Then I failed and no one likes it. Good. Bye.
Exactly.
And then usually they step up.
Exactly. They know that if they are listening now, somebody else has been giving some money for a lot of time. And so now it's their time to do the same.
It's quite a step from the Commodore 64 to iOS app. What kind of path did you have on the way?
Oh, I've always been dabbling here and there. When I was at the at university, there was a lot of. It was very difficult to have a place inside the hospital to do practice. I wanted to work in immunology and transplants. A friend of mine worked already there. I went there to meet him, and his professor was dabbling with an Excel file, was trying to pivot a table and doing strength, and he couldn't. And I was learning Visual Basic. I knew that Excel had Visual Basic, and in 5 minutes I made a little software that did in a few seconds what he was trying to do for days. So he told me from tomorrow you work here, and my final work for the graduation was a software that analyzed the compatibility for transplant between transplant donor and recipients of bone marrow transplant.
Dude, are you married? Because I'll bet you chicks just flock all over you.
Of course, excuse me,
I made an organ transplant analysis software when I was 12. I'm a regular Italian Doogie Howser. Nice, man. That's impressive.
Yeah, this was good.
That's slightly more impressive than the Podcast Index API. I'll just say that.
Well, you're all saving lives. I disagree.
It wasn't that difficult, but from a doctor's point of view, it was a miracle.
It was magic, of course.
It was 1998. It was so, and I did that, and I stayed there, and I studied there, and I made my postgraduate course there, and then when I started working in private practice, I left the developing a little on the side, and I began writing software again for iOS to write an app to listen to my podcast, to Digitalia.
Okay, there you go.
It was a single podcast player.
Yeah, sure, basically. Sure.
Yeah, I already had an app. And then when Marco published Overcast, I loved the idea to do some sound processing on the device, on the player, because there were a lot of,
yes.
of content with nice content, but really badly produced.
This is because I was looking even though I haven't been able to use the app, very impressed with all the audio features that you put in.
I love audio. On the side, there was another thing I did that I left apart. I was a guitar player.
Oh, of course. He plays guitar. Yeah.
But no, I'm not good at all, but I love it. And I love audio processing. And I loved the idea in Overcast to do sound processing, but it was implemented really, really bad at the beginning. Now it improved a lot, but at the time it was very bad. So I said, I can take my app to listen to Digitalia, make it general purpose, and try to do a little better on the sound processing side. And mm-hmm. that's why Castomatic was born.
Wow!
Yeah, so you're one. You have to be one of the few podcast apps that have their own audio engine. Then I mean, most people just use the underlying you know, audio player APIs off iOS.
Yeah. It's I've exchanged two different self-made audio engines because of Apple's transition from one technology to the other. Yes, but I enjoy it a lot.
Well, that's got to make it easier for you. I mean, it's a lot of work at the beginning, but then going forward, you know, if Apple changes something in their high-level API, you have immunity to that. You don't have to deal with that because you're writing just a low-level stuff, which rarely changes.
Yes, exactly.
What are you doing under the hood with that, Franco? Compression? What are you doing?
Yes, it's compression and a little EQ, but it's a really transparent compression that has a very, very long release time. So it works more like a leveler than a compression. So it doesn't change, it doesn't affect the character of the sound, but just the level really smoothly. But it has a gate on the side chain. So that when the voice stops, it doesn't.
The compression stops.
It doesn't take all the noise up, okay, which is the problem with compressor usually.
Here's what I'd love to try with you one day. I've always wanted this.
Yeah.
If I gave you my entire chain and the values, could you make a Podfather button so that if you wanted to hear that podcast the way my podcast sounds? You just hit that button and it would just go.
We can try. Yes, we can.
I'd
try.
Love to do that.
You use a lot of compression to affect sound. It's just.
Oh, yeah. It's total distortion. It's total distortion. Yes. Yeah. But it's just just as a setting. And, you know, I believe that there are. I've given up on the idea that the amount of content that is being created will all sound equally or at least some level of professional. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's all over the map. So you automatically, if you're in that part of, if you're doing DSP, which is fantastic, you are, you have to do some leveling between one podcast to the next. Otherwise people are just adjusting volumes all the time. Then you have to make up for all kinds of poorness. I'm saying, as I think you understand, I'd like to take it one step further. And, you know, here's the distortion version. You know, it's kind of like here's the Eddie Van Halen sound. You know, I want to say I'm Eddie Van Halen I'm alive. Something like that. And because you could have someone,
your character.
But you could have someone with the NPR sound. It could be all different kinds of sounds. You know, not just mine specifically. And I'd love to mess around with that one day with you.
We can try. It will be fun. The only difficulty might be that using your kind of settings, if the source material has a lot of noise, that noise would be pumped up a lot. You have to begin with a very clean source.
And I'm everything is in the gate with me. I mean, you're in the gate, I'm in the gate. You've heard it. It's completely, and it's fast. It's like, boom, done. Yes. One to three compression. Anyway.
Now, I'm interested in this. So what all codecs do you support? Are you, I mean, obviously MP3,
No, the
AAC.
Decoding is done by the low level, but the low level decoder from Apple. So every audio file that you can give to Apple's APIs, it ingests it and it gives you back the PCM packets. You can give it to Customatic usually.
So you're letting iOS do the decoding and then you're catching.
He's taking the PCM and then he's processing it, which is sick. Okay. I love it. That's really cool.
That's a really neat way to do it. I don't know what all they support. Do they support like Opus and some of these newer formats?
Yes. They should. Yes. Never tried Opus on iOS.
So there's another cool thing. Okay. How about this? Cridlin may like this. So James Cridlin publishes Pod News in an Opus file, really low. Now, can we on the other end have an Opus low bandwidth button that could bring back the pieces that were kind of lost in that compression or accentuate enough that it would sound better than it does?
Oh, that will be, it's like psychoacoustics.
This is almost as bad as the battery talk, Dave. I'm going to stop now.
That's what I was thinking when you were talking about that. I'm like, that's enhanced zoom rotate. That's like
pretty CSS, much.
You know, I do something like that. A little. It's not artificial intelligence. It's not deep learning, but it's something like that to detect music. Customatics
leveler. Was it look ahead?
It's a look ahead, but it completely disables every DSP if it detects music in the podcast.
Cool.
So if you have a mixed podcast with some voice and some music, voice is affected by the DSP. When you transition to music, music is unaffected because usually music is mixed and mastered as it should be. And I don't want to change it and affect that in any way.
Yeah,
that's
so what,
that's really cool.
What do you do? Do you also disable speed control when you see music? To like bring it back down to 1x and if it's on 1.0.
Right now I don't, but I should do it. That's a valid point. The zapper, the silent skipper, automatically is not functional during music because music is usually an uninterrupted flux of sound. So, so the silent skipper detects no silence and doesn't skip, but turning, 2x back to 1x should be, yes, that's a great idea.
Well, that's really interesting and a very, very good, unique selling proposition.
I use Castomatic. It's in my rotation of apps that I use, I mean, almost every single day. And the one thing that I've kind of really appreciate about Castomatic is that it feels like a native iOS app. There's really not a whole lot of custom UI controls there. It feels like an iOS app is supposed to feel. And that's a good thing because you don't have to go sort of relearn a new app experience. I can tell that you've done a lot of UI work, but it all still fits the paradigm of what we expect from, they all look like native controls, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yes. I'm not a great designer. And I wanted something that could stay in the device and look like something that Apple did a podcast app from Apple, but done with the feature I like and what. So I didn't want to diverge. There are many beautiful podcast players for iOS that have an incredible user interface, much better than mine, but they usually are very custom and very different from you know, Safari or the mail app or the iMessage. I wanted this to fit well between standard apps.
Well, your transitions between views are really, they're pleasing. So if I go to search or add, you know, search for a podcast to add, and it sort of morphs into the search screen that has the ability to choose between Apple and Podcast Index for search. It's the transitions between your UI views are, to me is great.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm proud of it. And well, you've seen the animation to see the show notes when you scroll the artwork in the player and the transport bar disappears.
Oh, that's a good bottom. I need to look at that right now.
Did you get accepted into the App Store right away, considering we've seen some people with trouble?
I was so afraid. I was so afraid for that, yes.
How fucked up is that, man, that you have to be afraid?
I don't know. I don't know. Yes, it's incredible. Incredible. But that's the way it's a dictatorship that it's...
Well, you guys know all about that. I mean, come on.
No
need to explain.
That brings up this article. So I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the headline of this article is Apple quietly buying ads via Google for high value subscription apps to capture app publisher revenue.
Oh, no, I had this? Not. No. What is this in?
Okay. So this was in Forbes. This is in Forbes yesterday. It says, Apple is secretly buying Google ads for high-value apps to collect potentially millions of dollars in subscription revenue, multiple app publishers have told me. Apple is placing the ads without the app developer's consent, and Google will not delete them, they say. It's a form of ad arbitrage, and it's been going on for at least two
years. Wait a minute. So, what exactly are they doing? I'm not quite sure I understand.
It took me a minute to figure this out, too, but here's I'm going to explain it. It says... Impacted businesses include major brands such as dating apps like Tinder, Plenty of Fish, Bumble, media giant HBO, blah, blah, blah. The ads don't disclose that they are from Apple and would, to most observers, simply look like ads from the brands and app publishers themselves that happen to go right to the App Store. They do, however, have a similar tracking link with nearly identical parameters to indicate that one agency is likely placing all of them. Here's a quote.
They're taking the vig on people getting the app. So is that what they're doing?
So they're taking an app like HBO Max, and Apple is buying an ad from Google for that app and pointing the ad to the App Store so that they capture revenue directly, so that they point people to the App Store so that those people will get the app and buy the subscription in the app rather than going directly to HBO's website and buying the subscription minus the 30%.
Oh, naughty, naughty.
Yeah. It says Apple has figured out that they can make more money off these developers if they push people to the App Store to purchase versus Webflow. And it's got a screenshot here, and it shows two ads at the top of the Google results, one's for HBO Max and the other one is another ad linking directly to the App Store for the app.
Jeez.
So, I mean, that to me, that is Apple directly in competition for their own developers' money. That's sick, man.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
It really is. Yes, it's really warped. Yeah,
and it says if they go through the App Store, they get the 30% up front, and then the 15% going forward, and the user doesn't know that the user has no idea. They're just doing their thing. Man, that's just crazy.
Why does it not surprise us though?
I mean, there's nothing illegal about it, but it sure is slimy, and it makes you think. Well, they're hitting you twice.
Yeah.
So they're going for you on the Google side.
Yeah.
Then they're also going to force you into their the App Store search keyword thing. Now, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
You can essentially buy search search ads in the App Store for your app. So I don't know if you've ever done this, Franco.
No, I'm certainly not.
Yeah, so like you could buy, the keyword for podcast app or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, they're getting you at every thing, and so you're selling an app for 99 cents, and then they're going to hit you from every direction for 30%. It's just that's such an insult.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Well, anyway, so you were really worried, and they accepted it. Did you have to buy anything for like an ad?
No, I never. I bought ads on the App Store at the beginning some years ago, but nobody came.
Right. Okay. But you already had, was Castomatic was already in there before you added value for value. Yeah. Correct.
Yes. Yes. It was. It's been on the store for some years now.
Hmm.
But now I added the value for value features on beta, and then I sent a new major release. 8.0 it was specified in the release notes that the reviewers read it.
It was halfway down, like, oh, features podcast including V4V. Yeah, I saw what you did there.
Nice. Okay. But you saw, but they didn't. Actually, or maybe they did, and they I don't know. They have a lot of pressure right now from antitrust.
They do.
Well, we also know now that from news a few days ago that Tim Cook, he personally holds Bitcoin in his portfolio. So
yeah,
he's a believer.
Of course. Oh no, he's just rich.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Just rich. Just rich.
Huh. Yeah. That's one thing about Castomatic's V4V implementation is that it's very extensive. When you first said you were going to do it, I just figured, you were going to kind of scratch the surface a little bit and just stick a boost button in there and kind of do bare bones. But man, when you released it, man, it's like a full featured thing, man. There's transaction history. There's boostergrams. Yeah. You spent a lot of time on that. I can tell.
It was my summer project. I worked on it. Usually summertime is meant for developers to adapt the app to the new to the new APIs from the new release of iOS coming in September. This year there weren't many exciting or really important new features to adopt, and there was podcasting 2.0. There was value for value that was important for me and for podcasting in general. I work a lot with other podcasters and with the ASIPOD, the Association of Italian Podcasters, that organized the festival of podcasting last month.
Yep.
And I'm seen one of the old guys with the white hairs in Italian podcasting scene. So
I know, isn't fun? We walk around all the young people in podcasting today. Oh yes, they're so cute, all of them.
So what all tags do you support so far? I know that you support
funding to take people to podcasters page with payments and such, value for value and chapters. Those are the tags. And then I support searching on podcast index for new shows.
Do you got any plans for anything new? Anything that you can divulge?
Oh, yes, I would love to try a little bit of everything, but time is not so much. But I'm waiting for comments to be a little more mature, and then try to do something for that.
Yeah, right on. Right.
So social tag it should be. Yeah.
Yeah. How is that going, Dave? I mean, as far as I know, only this show is posting the social tag, and I think it's only surfacing in Podfriend right now and the web version.
Podfriend's the only app that has support for the social interact tag. We are putting it out there, and also John Chidji just started putting in his podcast Causality and Pragmatic and stuff.
Right.
We figured out pretty quick that Pleroma.
I retweeted this. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah, they don't support the correct ActivityPub response for replies. So that hopefully we can get that in there. But I mean, it works. Like John Spurlock also supports showing the threads in his Podcasting 2.0 Validator app. So you can go and throw a feed in there, and if it has a podcast social interact tag in it, it will show you all the comment threads and everything that it can find. So the data's there. Now it's really just,
I'm ready to start talking about it, but I can't send people anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Podfriend supports it, but Martin's only showing the threads. He's not allowing commenting back.
Right. Right. And I mean, I snuck in a great promo for chapter images on No Agenda, which Dreb did I was like, oh, we can do all these, images, we can just have them flashing by. We did the 1400th episode. So you can do all these 1400 images. Watch, you know, Dreb will just make that happen. And he did it. But actually he did it in an animated GIF, and he did it to the beat of my voice, which was funnier.
Holy cow.
Because I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And he goes, pop, 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 pop. He switched three real quick in a row. And then I sent people to newpodcastapps.com.
Duh. Of course. It's like a dance. It's like ballet.
Yeah, Dvorak had to laugh. He's always like, how is he going to sneak it in this time?
Well, that, you know, you being a podcaster, Franco, like you can actually test and put some of this stuff in your own feed and then test it directly in your app. I mean, you've got the full feedback loop there.
Yeah, of course. Right now I'm managing my feed with a macOS application. The name is Feeder. I asked him if he would support the new tags, but I got a lukewarm answer. I don't know.
Well, you know, I know it's a com-friendly product, but CurioCaster's RSS generator is really, I use it for all my shows. It's really fantastic.
I heard about it. The Jenny.
Yeah, the RSS Jenny. Yeah, you just go to CurioCaster.com and then you click turn on RSS editor, and then you select any show, and import then you can create a new feed. Yeah, I mean, it's not even an import. It's there, and then you can say, okay, new episode. you can copy the previous episode's data, which is what I do. And then you just fill in all the values and it's all the tags. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff you don't have to change, of course. And you have templates and then you click, poop out feed. I think that's the button, poop out feed. Yeah.
Okay,
and then you just upload it wherever it needs to go. It's really mind-bogglingly easy. It really is.
I will give it a try for sure. Yes, that would be really useful.
Do you have, so as a podcaster, it's really cool to have that perspective on things. Do you, like, would you use comments in that way for your own show?
I think so. Yes. We try to, we have a good community. Right now, the most interaction is on a Slack, multi-channel Slack chat.
And is that live during the show? Do you have like a live chat?
We have a live chat. We have live comments because since 6 months we've been experimenting doing video too on Twitch and YouTube. So we do the live show and we record with audio and video, and somebody of course used the commenting system, the live commenting system on Twitch and YouTube. But we would like to have one single point, because to concentrate everybody in one place makes a better experience.
Yeah, I think, you know, Alex pointed out early on in the process of trying to develop this stuff that he made the point that chat and comments are different things. And that's really, prescient thing to say, because just imagine that you have a show where you're doing a live chat and you only have live chat. Well, if you have, then things get lost. So if somebody, if you had a show where they had comments attached to each episode, then those comments sort of live forever on that episode, and you can go back and somebody can actually comment on something that happened in that episode, and you don't lose that content like you do in a live chat. I think that was a really good point. Yeah.
And if it's anchored to a timestamp, it's even better, because
that's next level. You can read those.
Yeah, that's would be very, very nice.
Oh, cool. I hope we can get some more, we need more people to test this stuff, and just create some software around it, because the thing is there. I mean, we have, whether you put it on a Mastodon thread or whatever you want to do, I mean, the ActivityPub support is there. We really just need people to get in there and just start banging stuff out and writing software to get against it.
Are there libraries to interact with the ActivityPub servers, or you have to do bare HTTP? Stuff.
You talking about on like an iOS level library or something like that?
I don't know
about iOS. I know that there's a lot of libraries out there on the server side. I'm not sure client side though. Bet you there is, but now whether they're any, whether they're of any quality is a different story.
of course.
Yeah.
And I'd love to do Podping too. That would be nice, but it's a little tricky for my kind of app, because I'm serverless.
You have no server back end at all?
At all.
That's
impressive.
I never developed for servers, so I wanted to do all on the user's device. That's better for privacy. That's better for a lot of things. You don't have to deal with Docker containers, with UPS, where things get really messy fast.
No kidding. So you're storing. How do people sign up for the value for value? Are you using LMPay and using LMPay, that API?
LMPay, okay. Which is astounding. Yes, it's very, very good.
And the sign up happens. I'm sorry, I haven't used it. So the sign up happens in the app.
Yes, there's no need to do a sign up. There's on LMPay, there's an account for Customatic. And Customatic can generate wallets. For every single user, and store on the device the private keys.
Nice.
Those are backed up too on an encrypted file on the device, and the user can export it wherever he wants. So he doesn't, if he loses the smartphone, they can recover everything.
And, okay, so that's backed up to iCloud. Is that iCloud Sync?
Mm-hmm. iCloud Sync or file export. There are the two possibilities. Okay. So you can export a file too and store it wherever you want. Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Had you done any other Bitcoin or Lightning development work? Was that all new for you?
No, all new. Completely new, yes.
And how was the experience?
Yeah, working with LMPay was very, very helpful. If I should work directly with on the chain or with the demons with LND, the name is, I think so, yes, it would be really a lot more complicated. Yes.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, totally. that's 100% sure.
That's quite new stuff. So,
well, it makes a lot of sense now that you say that, because I'm observing some of the behavior of Castomatic makes more sense now that I know that it's serverless, because you have, sometimes I'll see that it will queue up a payment instead of it going straight through. And so I realize now that there's not a caching layer. So you're having to do all that queue management and caching and everything on the phone.
Yeah. And that's useful for two reasons. One, LMPay can be unreachable, have problems, or the device might be in a place where it has no network. Mm-hmm. But there's also the issue where the payments are very small. Usually fees are very small in percentage, and there's no need to send 5 sats at a time. So when 5, 10, when you go up to 5, I think the minimum is 50. When the fees stack up to 50 sats, then Castomatic sends it to LMPay, and the payment goes. Yes.
Well, it's very solid to be an on-device thing. It's surprising how reliable the payment sending is, because I've never had one fail. I've had it queue a lot, but I've never had a payment from Castomatic fail that I know of. So your caching and queuing of all that stuff is impressive.
Everything gets stored in the local database. Every payment has a record, and every now and then Castomatic tries to stack those up and send those to LMPay. And when the LMPay sends an okay payment done, I mark those as paid in the database, so nothing should be lost.
Man, this has been a really good board meeting. We have gotten under the hood of digital signal processing, of lead acid batteries, under the hood of LMPay Lightning APIs. This is deep.
Yeah. Umbral apps.
Really not a cheek magnet as a
definitely not. I want to ask you, Franco, if you can please send me a Lightning node, or I don't know if you use LMPay or what you use, so we can put that put a split in the value block. If you can email that to me,
yes, of course,
right away while Dave gets the papers, then
these papers that you have rustling
there, so we can thank a few people for supporting the entire Podcasting 2.0 project, of which this is your weekly report. Every week you hear what your value is doing, where it's being spent. Which is mainly on liquidity for as many channels as we can possibly maintain properly on our node, for the servers, etc. And we always love to thank everybody. If you want to support us, you can use a new podcast app, a newpodcastapps.com. Or I think podnews.net/newpodcastapps may have a list that is sortable. I think I heard James talking about that.
Yeah.
And of course, if you want to send us some fiat fund coupons, you can click on the fund button in your app if you want, which should be a little dollar sign or a piggy bank, or it'll be apparent. Or just go to podcastindex.org, scroll down to the bottom, and click on the big red donate button. Dave, who can we thank for supporting us with some value this week?
Right off the bat, we've got $50 PayPal donation from, and I don't know how to pronounce this, it's Kunis. KEUNES, from the AntennaPod guys. He says, "Hi gents, long overdue, but here's a big thank you for all your wonderful work. Firstly, for creating the index and providing a reliable search in AntennaPod, and of course for driving innovation in the podcasting sphere, not only with value for value system, but all those beautiful tags. Looking forward to the site promoting all of its greatness. We'll continue to support with some treasure and the limited time, not talent, I have. secretly hoping for this Java secretly hoping this Java dev wants to jump on, bringing more of this space to my beloved podcast app. Oh. Keep it up and go podcasting.
Yes, thank you very much.
Go podcasting!
I love AntennaPod. It is, I think it's default on a lot of, I think it's default on Graphene OS, I have a feeling. Or it was on mine, at least.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it desktop or is it mobile only?
I've only encountered it mobile. I have a feeling okay. It's also desktop.
I
shall look.
Okay.
While you read the next let's note. Let's see.
We got 2,500 sats from Harv Hat, and he just says 2,500 sat boost.
Oh yeah,
boost.
No, I think it's Android only.
Android only.
Yeah,
that's surprising. What am I thinking? I must be thinking of the KDE app. There's one called Casts, I think. I'll have to look it up. But
When you're not using Google stuff, you go to F-Droid, it's like, you search for podcast app and AntennaPod's popping up.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Got a 4,200 sat donation from Sir Spencer, and he said, Boost Grammy says, Dave said, no one has sent Boost the other way. Allow me to set the record straight. Oh, okay. Bowl after Bowl held a photo contest in our Sphinx tribe for the 420 special, and on episode 77, Good as Luck, we announced the winners, Boobery and Jim C, who split the 42,000 sat grand prize.
Mm.
Could this contest have been the first contest of its kind in podcasting 2.0?
No,
I think it was.
No, because they were using the Sphinx tribe functionality.
You're calling a foul on this.
I am calling. It's flag on the play.
Yellow card.
Yes, we've covered all the bases. I mean, of course, it's fantastic. And I love it. That's the whole idea, is to do stuff like that. But I think that only worked in the tribe because you can send sats back to someone in the tribe. What we want is to be able to send sats back to someone who just sent you sats from a podcast app.
In the app.
Yeah. In the app. Yeah. In the app.
That would be super weird.
No, it's the future. This will happen. This will totally happen. And you'll be able to buy stuff, you know, refund. I mean, it's so obvious this is coming. I'm just going to have to sit here and wait for it to happen.
Thank you for your 4,200 sats, Sir Spencer, but denied. Incorrect.
You didn't have to be that mean about it.
I love you, Spencer. So, Franco, how weird would that be if you're listening to a podcast and you got randomly selected and you're listening to it in Cast-O-Matic, and then all of a sudden, like, 5,000 sats just show up in your wallet? Cast-O-Matic. I mean, you could do it, and it was. I mean, you don't need, you're LMPay, so it's all it could all just happen. You wouldn't even have to do anything.
The only thing you need to do is you need to be able to, the podcaster has to be able to know where to send it. How do you close that loop?
Okay, so is there a TLV anywhere in there for the sender's wallet?
I don't know.
Do you know that?
If not, we'll just.
I don't know.
We'll hijack another one.
It might be, but I didn't look at it a lot because wallets on LMPay, normal wallets, don't have a complete address.
Right. So you have to use the key.
The custom key and custom value.
But custom key and custom values are only for a special type of wallet on LMPay that is called the podcaster wallet. Those you can generate, I think, only on the website, and you can't do it via the API.
Oh.
So Custom-Matic can only generate what is called a standard wallet, a generic wallet. And I'm looking at it right now. Generic wallet. Don't have the custom key, custom value assigned to it. So you can, I think there's no way to send back.
I think there is actually. Right now. I think there is actually. I think that the standard wallets use a different, use a different, TLV custom key. I think that it's like a 1122 something. I'll find it. Okay. I think you actually can, Franco.
Okay. That would be very good. Thank you.
We'll test it out.
Okay.
Okay, so
that would be sexy. I just want a button, you know, just kind of like I have one of these, you know, but then I just want to be able to say, okay, hold on a second. There you go, Dave Jones. I just dropped some sats in your wallet, brother.
I'm looking now. It says there is a field in there called sender underscore key. That sounds like what we need.
Cool.
We're gonna have to play with this. This is important. He gives us pronunciation. It says pronounced Will plus Lee. Oh, so Willie.
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 Hello, Willie.
Okay. Willie.
Don't be daft. Don't be silly. Put a snake skin on your Willie.
Is that an old Australian?
No. I will. The person who told me that was David Coverdale.
Oh, from Whitesnake?
Yeah, from Whitesnake.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
And that just came out. Just was a Whitesnake memory moment that slipped out. Sorry.
Was his wife still laying on the hood of the Jaguar?
She passed away. Tawny.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Tell me something.
I was at their wedding, Tawny and David. You didn't know this. I was at their wedding, the Four Seasons in L.A. This is a long time ago. And then he was living with her in Incline Village in Lake Tahoe. And she was, I remember him because Adrian Vandenberg, who I, a Dutch guitar player, was in Whitesnake. I know Adrian really well. And I went out to a couple of their shows when they came through New York, New Jersey. And the third time I could hear him go like, you know, they were just married. He'd be like, call right after the show. Hello, kitten. How are you, kitten? We had a great show, kitten. And then three shows later, it's like, damn, man, she spent $100,000 on curtains. So anyway, so they I'm not telling you the truth. So they did separate, but sadly, she just got addicted to all. She was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
That sucks, man.
That was a weird episode because I knew three people who were on that series with Dr. Drew. Who are all at the same time. And then, she passed away. She wasn't doing too well. So sad. But she was doing better, but I think there was so much abuse to her body that it just gave out. Anyway, on an upbeat note, what the hell are we talking about?
Slip of the Tongue was my favorite album. So,
it's a great title.
Willie says, he gave us 1,000 sats and he says, hot, almost functional programming speak. Although I prefer calling them maybes, optional is almost as good. Next up, mapping, functors, and monads. I have no idea what any of these means.
This
is functional programming speak. All right, functional programming speak. There you go. We need a jingle. Thank you, Willie. But I don't know what a functor is or a monad. Do you know what that is, Franco?
Oh, no. I read about those, but... an actor, yes, it's to isolate for work, for synchronization. Is a higher level, kind of like semaphores, but a higher level. You have something that is like a class, but everything that goes in and out of that happens on a single thread, and it's synchronized, so you have no problem with the multiple threads assessing the variables.
I still got no idea what you're talking about. but thank you for trying though. John's BRT, he sent us 10,049 sats and he says, go podcasting.
Yeah, indeed.
Go podcasting!
Okay, so what's a monad? What's that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay, all right. Aristatica, he of top of the leaderboard fame.
Mm-hmm.
He's still king of the hill. Just throwing that out there.
But he's not up in the ante. He's looking for challenges. No. He's looking for challengers. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to. He's just sitting up there by himself. There just,
yeah, right.
No. With a beer. 2,376 sats, and he says PSB equals personal standard booster gram.
Yes, we figured it out. Indeed.
Yes, it does.
Booster gram.
Somebody hold his beer, by the way. Anonymous. It's 1,965 sats, and from CurioCaster, and he says, here's your cut of a messaged tip from CurioCaster.
I got that too. I also got one of those. Here's your cut from a tip from CurioCaster.
I wonder if that's something new he's doing. Where he's
must
like
be. It must
trying
be.
To anonymize messages or something.
I don't know. But I, because I remember I sent a boost It was just a boost and it came through like that. So maybe he's adding that. He's making boostergrams out of boosts.
Why not?
Yeah. I was happy to see it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Let's see. Anonymous, 1,111 cents. So it's a sack of ones. He sent through Breeze. Oh, this is a Circus Media.
Oh, yes.
He says, thank you for your courage. Boost!
Boost! I think I need to record you doing that. That's become kind of a little drop all by its own, your boost. You do that quite well.
Boost.
Bevenauer sent 500 sats. He's sent through Fountain. He says, would love to hear the boardroom's thoughts on synonym. Check out TFTC 281 with John Carvalho. Do you know what synonym is?
Is that a... No, I don't think I do.
I don't either.
I have a feeling it's... why am I thinking it's a chat app or something?
Is it like a functor or a monad?
I think it's similar to a monad, but it doesn't have the joie de vivre of a functor.
Functor. That sounds like...
Another great band name. Let's be honest about
it. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, just give it up for Functor.
The mothership. Wild ideas I can't totally wrap my head around. Could podcasting 2.0 use such an interesting technology? I don't know what it is. Maybe.
I don't know what it is either. That up. I don't know. I will say, just as an aside, I had a moment of clarity today. Guy I know who works in New York, he works at a big consulting firm, and he worked on smart contracts and Ethereum and all that, and now he's gotten into quote-unquote the metaverse, and he's working on the commercial side of the metaverse, but also on the open source version of the metaverse, which is called Decentraland. And have you heard about Decentraland?
No.
And it's decentraland.org. And you literally, you hit it with the browser and you can, enter the world. And it's very Second Life-y. And you can navigate and do all that stuff. And, I'm talking with them saying, so what is the point? So it's cool because obviously I can just hit it with any browser and I'm walking around in a world and I can create my avatar and I can build stuff. It's kind of Minecraft level graphics. Just running on a Surface Go running Linux Mint. So I'm already pretty impressed. People are chatting. You can hear them. If you connect your mic, you can talk back to them. So what is this? It said, yes, the metaverse. I said, but what is the point? I mean, it's so slow to get from one place to another to go, oh, yeah, I guess I could teleport to chat to someone, but so we just stand around the pool table that we're not really going to play pool on. I said, you can exchange stuff. Yeah, I understand, but I can exchange stuff with a QR code. Anyway, long story short, I realize, after finally going through this kind of circle of question and answer, the metaverse is just another clubhouse.
Oh.
With badass avatars, and you're in Clubhouse. So, well, what's the, well, creators can connect with their fans. Well, that's what Clubhouse is.
Yeah. It's a social audio.
Yeah, and no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mess.
It's just like they don't care about fireside chat.
Well, the thing I definitely see this, I mean, if you need a workforce that needs to go into some low-res room and is basically using a data glove and VR glasses to train a robot AI. Yeah, sure. It's great for slave labor. Your kids can do it. But I don't see much beyond that. Don't we already live in a make-believe world? Zoom, you use fake backgrounds. You do all kinds. You can use filters on your face. Instagram, not a single woman on there is actually what she looks like. Aren't we already kind of in that world? Do we have to take it to that next step of stumbling around?
This is the problem with all of this stuff like short form audio and metaverses and all. The problem is time. Nobody has enough time to do all this crap.
I'm command line, brother. I even stepped out of the GUI. That's how much time I need to save.
I know. I'm thinking that, who is going to sit around and do a Twitter Spaces more than maybe once every 6 months. Nobody has time for this crap.
No, listen, this is where it's going. That was the big epiphany. This is for the groups of people, and I think Italy will be high on this list, Franco. Mm-hmm. Groups of people, if not entire countries' populations, who are sitting at home receiving universal basic income, and during the day they hang out in the metaverse and train AI.
And that is disturbing.
You know how Sphinx Chat had, which I thought was really cool. You know, they have people in, which is their real business or part one of their businesses, where they have people in the Philippines and mm-hmm. And they pay them per image. And these images are, I know one was training video cameras, security cameras. And so they'd show an image, cat, okay, not a threat. Click on the not a threat button. They show an image of a dude. All right, threat, click on the threat button. So they're training the AI all day, and they get 100 sats or something, whatever they get for each time they process an image. And, you know, this is no different from... my daughter stopped doing it, but she was working for one of those companies to make some extra money during the lockdown, where she evaluates search questions on Google or Siri, and then, you know, has to direct and make sure that those are corrected and directed towards the right answers. So this is what that's what I think it will be for. And it'll be great. And then you sit around and then, you know, you throw a sex ball in the corner and you, whatever, you know, like Second Life.
Yeah.
Just for a little distraction. Yeah. Yeah. I think that'll work fine. Meanwhile, we'll be out in the real world, walking dogs.
Of course.
This is a dystopian version of the future I don't want to live in.
I read an article. We are already doing something like that with the CAPTCHA. Every time we solve a CAPTCHA,
yes, correct.
We teach an artificial, an AI to drive.
Yes.
Because we have to recognize the semaphores, buses, cars, and stuff like that because they need it for self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the old thing of, porn sites put up a CAPTCHA and you're solving a CAPTCHA, but what you're really solving is not a CAPTCHA for the site that you're about to go into. You're solving a CAPTCHA in an iframe for somebody taking over a Gmail account in a third world country.
That's pretty much right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the factory.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're helping Google with that mainly.
Cass Peelan is helping us with 3,300 sats. He says, nice. Thank you for the show. No, thank you, Kat.
Thank you.
Let's see. Oh, Abel Kirby.
Aha.
3,915 sats. Abel's a sat streamer. He says, yeah, but my Boostergram spam didn't go through.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, I missed it.
I didn't see the Boost of Spam.
No. Hey, I liked it. I hadn't heard of that term yet. Boost to spam, good one.
Yeah, that's what he said. I read it wrong. He said boost to spam. That was not my invention. Mm. That's it for sats. And our monthly guys are Keith Gibson gave us $50. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Keith.
Been given forever. Servi from clever.fm gave us $5. David Woodfine gave us $3. Enigma Labs, $20. Timothy Hudgens, my buddy, I saw him last night at our school function, $25. Thomas Sullivan Jr. gave us $5, and Jeremy Gerdes gave us $5. Derek Visker, $21. Damon Kasajak, $15. Paul Saltzman, our buddy, gave us $22.
Always 22.
Sjoren Moeller gave us $10. And David Norman from Hypercatcher gave us $25. Hey, David.
We miss you, David.
All right. That's our group.
Yes. And I wanted to make a recommendation. If you want to support the show and maybe instead of doing a PayPal, do your $20, your $5, your $50 in Satoshis. It's a great way now that we are 10% less value than the last show, as Bitcoin is currently around 57,500. If you send us those sats now, they all stay on the node. But then when we eventually need some, it'll be higher and it'll be an even bigger support.
It's future match. Of course. It's a future match.
Yes, it's like NPR. Yeah, and you know what? We'll give you a tote bag.
So, it's a 10x future match.
That's a 10x future tote bag. No, seriously, that's that would be a great opportunity because I think it will rebound. I'm not too worried about this price.
I'm looking at Synonym here. This says Synonym will provide users with new Bitcoin powered services. It looks like they're a Lightning service provider.
Oh, okay.
It says BlockTank LSP is one of their products. Your full service Lightning service provider. Businesses, platforms, apps, or Bitcoiners can configure and purchase Lightning network connections and liquidity. I'll have to look through this.
Oh, I see. Synonym introduces the architecture for a self-sovereign. I'm clicking on it. Bitcoin economy supported by the Lightning network. Oh, okay. So we do have to learn. Mm-hmm. I'll put this in the show notes so people can take a look at that. That's interesting.
Did you see that? Did y'all see that new podcast is coming out? This says it's funded by Bitcoin. Did you see that?
I heard. Where did you see this?
Well, James posted about it on the thing, and then sent us an email about it. It just says funded by Bitcoin, and I don't know what that means.
No, it was kind of fuzzy for me too.
Yeah,
especially because he was saying I should go talk to them. Like what?
Yeah. Well, I guess if they come out with a Bitcoin podcast and they don't have it value for value, then
they're shitcoiners, basically.
Shitcoiners, yeah. That's right.
They're backup shitcoiners. If you're into Bitcoin, and you have a podcast and you're not doing value for value.
It's a shitcast.
It's a shitcast. Well, thank you very much, everybody. That is. It's what keeps us going. It's what keeps everything running, keeps the machine rolling. Now we're also we've increased our costs, right? We have the deal with LMPay in place. Has Tim sent us an invoice?
I hope so.
You got to remind him. I think. Hey man, send us an invoice. Yeah, he is. Send us an invoice, bro.
Yep. I hope so because I'll have to check with Eric. But if he hadn't, it's bad when you got to bug people to pay to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the opposite of what it should be. Franco,
no, please go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Franco, I was just going to ask you, how has your cut of Lightning and stuff? I mean, have you made any decent amount of sats?
A little, yes. They're coming. Okay. There's a 4%, I think, fee.
Nice. There you go. I like seeing that. Very good.
I think that's fair. And
it's very fair.
I might do something more. I used to have ads in Customatic a couple years ago. Then I removed them all because I didn't want to integrate Google's libraries and such. I removed all tracking stuff from and there's the possibility to pay via in-app purchase. Originally, it was meant to remove the ads. And right now, it just says no ads for everybody. If you want to support me, you can do in-app purchase. But I think that in one of the next releases, when you reach some amount of fees paid via value for value, you get the same features as you would have with in-app purchase. Maybe one day I will remove AAP completely. That would be nice.
How are you finding the onboarding process for people? Do you get any feedback from your users? Onboarding value for value. Yeah, sorry.
Well, right now, I think just the geeky users and people that are on podcastindex.org are onboarding and so I think they had no issue because nobody had problems. There was some problems in the UI for boosting and they reported it. I already solved most of those in 8.01. Mm-hmm. But I think onboarding is smooth. You don't get presented with anything until you try to listen to some podcast that has value for value. Mm-hmm. Then you have a box in the player that says no wallet configured. You click those. It gives you all the information. You can generate the wallet with no problem. It asks you if you want to back up. And from that, it's almost everything is automatic and
yeah, I like that. That's serverless. That's very impressive.
Yeah. It's very difficult to you have to work a lot to spare battery and bandwidth.
Yeah.
To pull every single feed from the device can be costly, but I have some optimization. The app tries to predict when the next episode will be.
Oh, maybe you should share
between episodes.
Yes, exactly. You should share algorithms with Dave so you guys synchronize. Yeah. That's cool. Do you do the same thing in meantime between episodes?
Yes, something like that.
Brilliant.
The name is different, but yes, the same.
What do you call it?
I don't remember. I can go in the source code, but time interval between episodes or something like that.
Nah, MTBE is much rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, easier. It sure does. I mean, that's now official.
Yeah.
That's official podcasting language. Yeah, I'll change your code right away.
I will.
I was just looking here, and I've just realized that. I was subscribed. Okay, because I subscribe to podcast app has an in-app purchase. I subscribe to all of them, and I was like, oh, let me make sure that I was in Castmatic. So I went in there, and I realized I had Test Flight installed. I was on the beta.
Okay.
And it said it's not going to do it. But then I flipped back over to the normal one and hit restore purchase and it said you've already purchased this. So I'm like, okay, I had a panic moment. I'm good.
Is there
I will tell you what I tell everybody, give me more options. So like,
okay,
only in your app, it only says $9.99 a year. I want in there a $29.99 a year and a $59.99 a year. I want some different options if it's possible, because I want don't ever not let people pay you more money.
That's always point. Room for more money, and don't negotiate against yourself. We have to. You're not, I think, and I like that. Yeah. But most app developers like, well, my app's really 99 cents, and I really should only be one Satoshi. No, man, if you did good work and just you tell, here's what I need.
Yeah, if there's a $59.99 button in there, I'm hitting it.
Okay.
Okay.
I put $9 million button.
I'm not hitting that one.
Yeah. Franco, how far are you from Firenze? Is that about 3 hours by car, maybe?
Yeah, 3 hours. Yes. All right,
man. Next time I'm there, I'm going to drive. I've actually driven through Sanremo. Ooh. Yeah, I went from Saint-Tropez to... I can't remember if I drove to or from. Cause I mean, no, you hit Monaco first, then Sanremo, right?
Yes.
And then
yes.
Genoa, which you want to immediately go fast and go away from there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Dave, you hit Genoa and it's like a highway that intersects in this mountain, this town. It just looks dirty. And I mean, what happens there? Is that a factory town? What's going on in Genoa?
Oh, it was a port town, a factory town. Yeah. Right now it's
a shanty town. Years. Shanty town.
Yes. But the center of the town, the ancient port, now has been revalued and gets finally a lot of tourism.
Oh,
but
good.
Just a little piece of the town. The one that you, the part that you see from the highway is very, very bad.
Yes. Very bad. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I would love to hang out, man. If we're ever allowed back in Italy.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Let me know.
Of course. I won't just drop by without telling you.
Okay. No problem.
Is there anything else we can do for you, Franco? Is there anything you need? Any functionality?
Keep doing what you're doing. If we can make Podping work for apps with no server, it will be incredible.
Okay.
Because what you're doing is an incredible work, and I'm really proud to make a little part of it.
No, you're doing a big part, man. And thank you so much for all your time and your talent that you've put into this. It's really beautiful. I'm going to see if I can upgrade my iPhone 6 to the latest OS. Probably the reason why it's crashing is because I don't have any. It's probably before all the audio shit came in. It's probably how old my iOS is. Mm-hmm. Dave, how about you? You're going. Can you disclose your location? And by the way, does anyone have the passwords while you're gone?
No, nobody has the passwords.
Okay, good. Well, all right.
It's my job security. We're going to Universal Studios in Orlando.
Oh, that's right. And you've been before, haven't you?
No, we've never been. So what happened was during, we had we had a plan to go like 2 months before the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And it totally screwed that. So we had to cancel and everything. So we're finally taking the trip that we were going to take 2 years ago. So yeah, we'll be down there for a week.
What are you most excited about doing while you're down there?
I have no idea. I'm excited about not being at work.
Good. Well, turn your phone off, man.
Yeah, totally.
And leave the password on a post-it note somewhere so we can have someone go pick it up for us.
Yeah, Eric, he'll fly in from Washington and Gary. And make a claim. I need in that house. I need to get the password.
Right now. Oh, yeah. Well, you've seen Eric. He'll do it.
Oh, he will. Yeah. And without thinking twice.
Excellent. Have a great weekend. Dave, have a great vacation. Great trip. Franco, thank you so much. Thank you again for everything. And thank you for staying up for the show. It's been a great, great chat we've had today.
Thank you. It was an honor and it was a lot of fun. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's it for the International Colors of Benetton podcast. We return in 2 weeks with the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We'll see you then.
Listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Podcasts are cool.
Go podcasting!
Boost! Boostagram.